You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning I spoke to Jess and Noor from the Rainbow Election 2020 group about their LGBTQIA plus policy tool for this year's election. The tool was created in collaboration with 13 Rainbow organisations, and it aims to both inform the public in voting and policymakers in how they can protect the Rainbow community. It highlights 15 policy areas that they are asking for political parties to take a stance on, split into four categories of health, education, community, and legal. I started by asking Jess about the problem of disengagement with politics by Rainbow youth.
So we know that youth, and in particular Rainbow youth, don't want to vote when there's no representation about things that matter to them. So when there's no parties that have come forward with policies that talk about issues that do affect your day-to-day life when you're a Rainbow person, there's so much less incentive to vote because it feels like it's not going to make a difference if there's no policies or no parties or no politicians that are there to represent you. So with this tool, we were hoping that it builds this platform for politicians to be able to connect with and realise that there is this call for Rainbow people to have policies that represent them, and that it's not just this minority group that doesn't matter. It's a bigger voting bloc. We're not actually sure how big the voting bloc is because there's not particularly good statistics around the number of Rainbow people. But we know that the voice does matter, and we're hoping that this will amplify those Rainbow voices.
What do we currently see from parties in terms of Rainbow policies, or perhaps a lack thereof?
At the time that we're having this call, there are currently only two political parties that have had come out with Rainbow policies or anything in relation to equity, and that's the Greens and the New Conservatives. So at this point, when we have tried to engage with political parties, they said that either they're waiting to release it, or it's in the works, or there's been no comment. But we do see that it's about a month left until voting is available and the elections are here. And we think that that's quite a tight timeline to still be having discussions around what specific policies there would be from the political parties. But we also think that so much of it is a reactive thing. So if there is noise around wanting policies that are related to the Rainbow community, then hopefully that acts as a signal to the political parties to say, oh yeah, we should probably get this going. So that's very much our intention, is to act as a signal saying that we're here and we want you to think about these issues, and hopefully they will respond by having something tangible that they could relate to.
Is it a result of the fact that the Rainbow community does make up a sort of minority of the general public? So do you see it as parties not really seeing it as worthwhile using their campaign efforts to pander to that particular vote?
Yeah, I think there is definitely a feeling of that. And, you know, with Rainbow communities, sometimes the issues aren't very well highlighted, or for example, when it comes to youth homelessness, Rainbow youth are disproportionately affected by this issue, but I don't think a lot of people know it because Rainbow people are not necessarily visible within the community, so it might not necessarily be an issue that is tangible for a lot of political parties to think about, because they think, oh, like the wider issue here is homelessness, or the wider issue here is mental health. And that's very true, but it's also wanting to highlight that these communities are disproportionately affected in comparison to other populations.
There's also that issue with kind of that cycle of not voting. So if Rainbow people aren't voting because there's no policies, then politicians and parties aren't going to listen to Rainbow people because they're not seen as big enough of a voting bloc. But then you can understand why Rainbow people aren't voting if there's no policies that relate to them. So it kind of ends up going into that circle of Rainbow people not voting and then politicians not responding to Rainbow people because not seeing them as a big enough of like an incentive to put policies forward for.
We've seen Labor take a stance on conversion therapy, but that in itself was quite hard fought. But I also kind of wondered, I mean, a lot of people would see that as like, oh, well, there you go. you know, they've got their policies there, but why do you feel like that kind of not adequate enough? I know you highlight a number of other policies that you see as being important.
Yeah, so you'll see on the tool that Labor has said that they support banning conversion therapy. There's no actual policy on the Labor website. Essentially what that's come from is media announcement that Labor has said that they will support banning conversion therapy if the issue comes up. So we know that there's public engagement with this issue, and we know that there is some support in government to try and change that, but it's not at the forefront of issues that the government's dealing with. And so we want to put that, you know, straight to the front of the agenda, because conversion therapy is extremely harmful. It's hurting our communities, and it is really unacceptable that it's still legal in New Zealand.
I mean, with the conversion therapy issue, to me that seems the very lowest threshold, you know, of like, okay, yeah, it's policy actually just allowing people to be themselves, you know, whereas you've actually highlighted 15 issues, which beyond that, I think would enable for people in the rainbow community to actually thrive and not just merely be accepted. So if you could kind of talk a bit to those 15 issues.
Within the 15 policies, it's split up into four categories, and that's legal, community, health, as well as education. And the three that we have chosen to really advocate for and not playing favorites were banning conversion therapy, gender affirming healthcare, as well as improving the mental health services, as well as the mental health well-being of rainbow people.
That is all we have time for today, unfortunately, but next week we'll hear more from Jess and Noor about the specific policies under the health, education, community and legal categories. The Rainbow Election Policy Tool website will go live tomorrow, and their launch event is happening on the 17th of September with guest speaker MP Chloe Swarbrick. You can find more info on their website, rainbowelection2020.org.nz, or on social media.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.